Okay, thank you.
So I first have to warn you that this will be a very technical talk, quite technical. So I will try to explain the ideas of behind the proofs of these complete problems, and it's I don't know if I really succeed in convincing you, but that's my idea in any case. Okay, so let's first see the outline of what I'm trying to do today. So I will first give a bit of idea what I do mean, what I'm meaning with these complete problems, and especially I'm interested in complete problems with respect to some logical reductions, and then I will give a very short survey of higher order logics, the fragments of higher order logic that I'm interested in. And then to the technical part, the second order QBF, second order quantified Boolean formulas. And I will concentrate on third order logic. All this can be done for fourth order logic and so on, but it's perhaps it's best that I restrict here to third order logic. And I will reduce definability by third order formulas to second order Boolean formula validity. Okay, and then finally, in the last part, I go to the logical reductions. So I will actually show that it's possible to find a complete problem for each fragment of third order logic with respect to quantifier-free reductions. So that's what I try to do. Okay, so let's define a logical version of complete problem. We have two logics, L and L star, and we have a class K of finite structures. All the structures will be finite, and they are in some relational vocabulary. There are relations R1 to Rn, and I will fix the arities of these relations to be Ri. Okay, and this class K is a complete problem for L star with respect to L reductions if for every sentence of L star we can have a formula, we have a sequence of formulas from the other logic L such that the structure defined by the sequence of formulas in a model is in the class K, just in case the original formula phi is true in the model. So we use this sequence of formulas for reducing the problem whether phi is true in A to the question whether the defined structure is in the given class K. Okay, and the structure defined by these formulas is defined in such a way that the first formula defines the universe. It's a set of some K tuples for a fixed K. So there is always a fixed K. And we look at K tuples in the model. The first formula defines the universe, and the other relations define the relations on these K tuples. So I hope this is understandable. You still want to read?
What is the role of L star?
L star is the okay.
Sentence of L star. Okay.
Yeah. Every sentence of L star, and L is the logic used for the reductions.
Is n the same in those alphas? And
yeah. The n is the number of symbols in the vocabulary of K.
But,
They are the arities, R1 to Ri. Okay, so everybody is following up to this point. No.
It's AK, then. 9 by the end.
A.
A
K tuples for me. And this A is the universe of this bold face A. Okay. Okay, so should I continue? Okay.
Example.
Okay. So usually in the examples we use first order logic, or actually the examples are using only quantifier free formulas. So the reductions are really very simple, and so they are computable in whatever, okay, AC zero or whatever you like. Okay. Okay, this is just a side remark. We come to my favorite subject of generalized quantifiers or Lindstrom quantifiers. So actually we could see this being a complete problem just means that there is a Lindstrom quantifier such that everything in the logic L star can be expressed in a normal form applying the Lindstrom quantifier to this sequence of the reducing formulas. So a single application of the Lindstrom quantifier to this sequence of formulas is enough to express. So anything in L star can be expressed in this form. Okay, so this is just a side remark. I'm interested in it, but it's not central here. Okay, you wanted examples. I don't give any proofs, but actually this is studied a lot, these kind of things. And I have listed here some of the known things. So, okay, I have to say that I didn't check this first here, the Dahlhaus, but my recollection is that Dahlhaus really proved that if we encode satisfiability into structures in the suitable way, then it's complete form.
Even older, I mean, before Dahlhaus, Lovash and Gatt.
Aha, okay. Okay, sorry, yeah.
Back in 77, okay,
I have forgotten that, yeah. I guess you have mentioned it before also, but okay.
And Dahlhaus proved for a number of others, including Hamiltonicity and a few others.
Okay, so I should really change this. Okay, then another still bit older, I guess, result by Valco from 70 is that sigma 1-1 can be captured by using so-called partially ordered quantifiers, partially ordered prefixes. I won't define them here, but actually it's quite simple to prove using that the Henking quantifier, which is the simplest non-trivial partially ordered quantifier, is complete for sigma 1-1. So this holds on the class of all structures, but certainly it holds on the class of finite structures. Okay, and then we have, if we have an order on the structures, then we can use transitive closure in various versions to have complete problems with respect to quantifier-free reductions to log space, n-log space, and p-time.
Okay. What has been deterministic? Well, transitive closure is complete for something.
For log space.
Well, just in what sense complete?
Deterministic transitive closure. So every log space property can be expressed in the form that there is a path. Okay, you have an order. You have the first element and the last element. There is a.
I just mean that this does match your definition.
Hmm?
In your definition, you have class of structures.
Yeah. This is the one has to. If one wants to have this as a class of structures, one has to do some tricks. It's possible to do. Transitive closure is an operator, not a class of structures, but there is an equivalent quantifier, which defines the same things. Okay, and what happens if we don't have a linear order, then actually this last one, the alternating transitive closure, is still complete for least fixed point logic. But then for kind of analogs of log space and n log space, we don't get any more any complete problem, because there is an alternation hierarchy for transitive closure logic and deterministic transitive closure logic. Okay, and there are some other things. One can devise a complete problem for partial fixed point logic, and there is an interesting connection to the problem if there is a logic capturing polynomial time without assuming order. So this is possible just in case there is a complete problem for polynomial time with respect to quantifier-free reductions. Okay, this was proved by Anus. Okay, so these are some examples. Okay, then I will try to introduce the how higher order logic should be or could be understood. Okay, so we have to have some types of variables. We have higher order variables and they have types. For a second order variable, the type is the arity. And the same is true for, we can talk about constants or relation symbols, and they also have arity. And then if we have an I plus first order variable, then its type is a sequence, a tuple of types of ith order variables, T1 to TR. Okay, so this is a kind of hierarchical system of types. Okay, and then we can start forming atomic formulas using these variables with these types in the usual way. So we can form the usual atomic formulas with second order variables or relation symbols, and then identities between first order variables. And then for higher order variables, we have the natural thing. I guess I don't need to explain it. Let's go to the next.
You don't have equality between higher order variables?
I don't have. I mean, it's definable in the corresponding logic. Okay. So the formulas, all atomic formulas are formulas. Then we have the usual connectives. I will use negation, disjunction, conjunction. Then first order quantification, second order quantification, and higher order quantification. I have kind of separated this second order and higher order because I want to use a bit different notation for the variables, so it's easier to handle the third order logic in the rest of the talk. Okay, and then the semantics. We have to have interpretations of these all these variables on structures. Okay, and then the second order relation of type. We have types of the relations, the interpretation. Second order relation is the usual thing. It has an arity, and it's a relation of that arity on the model. And then I plus first order relation is a relation between ith order relations. Okay, I guess this is straightforward. Okay, and then we fix a structure and we want to define the truth of ith order logic or ith order formulas on this structure. So we need a way of interpreting the free ith order variables or less than ith order variables. So we, for each first order variable, we fix an element. Alpha x is an element. For second order variables, it's a relation of the corresponding arity. And then, of course, for jth order variable of type, some fixed type, it's a corresponding relation of the type. So this is straightforward. Okay, then I introduce some notation that I hope that you will remember for the rest of the talk. Okay, so if we have a higher order formula phi, The formula has a fixed vocabulary, tau phi, which is the usual vocabulary. There are just relation symbols, so second order constants only in this vocabulary. And then we denote. I have to be careful here. And I will denote by STR structures of this vocabulary as the class of all finite structure of this vocabulary. Okay, and then a tau phi interpretation is a pair where we have a model of this in this class, and then we have an interpretation or valuation of the possible free variables. And then this int interpretations tau phi is the set of all such interpretations, tau phi interpretations. Okay, usually, of course, in this valuation is only necessary to have a kind of have a valuation for those variables which occur in the formula. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not a big thing here. Okay, and now we can go to the semantics, and actually I just say that it's an obvious one. And here is for an example, if we have an existential quantification over a higher order variable then of some type, then this is true if and only if there is a modification, I mean it's possible to assign a relation to this variable which satisfies the formula. So we change the interpretation A by interpreting this variable T by the relation R. Okay, that should be clear, I hope. Okay, then
an example of third order formula which says something reasonable.
Let's discuss this after the talk. surely there are interesting third order formulas, but I don't. I mean, if I try to do it just like now, I certainly get something which is not interesting. without kind of thinking beforehand. Okay, but you take some exponential, okay, next complete problem, and it can be expressed as a third order sentence. Well, I will give some okay. Next complete here's problems here.
Every tree decomposition of the given graph has width W.
Okay.
But tree decomposition is a set of sets, so
yeah.
So you're interested.
Okay, that's an example. Fine. Okay. So then I will define the fragments of higher order logic. So I will have to warn that here we run into certain problems with the indexing of these classes, because the traditions in different areas are different, and I have sigma ij and the I and j are defined as here, but then in some other cases I have the same indexes, but they are not the same. You will see later. Okay, so sigma ij. So first of all, it's the class of I plus first order formulas. So sigma 0j would be first order formulas and so on. Okay. We in the normal form where we start with a block of existential I plus first order quantifiers, and then universal I plus first order and so on, and we have this alternation of length j. So there are j different blocks. and the rest is an ith order formula. Okay, so this is, I guess this is the standard definition, I hope. And each ith order formula can be put in this form, normal form. Okay, and then in the rest of this talk I will also, to simplify things, I will make an assumption, actually about the arities of these arities that appear in the types of the variables. So I will assume that for each formula we have actually a fixed arity, which is kind of everything throughout in the formula is of arity R in the sense. So every second order variable occurring in phi is of type R, they have arity R, and third order variables are of type, there are R array relations, and so on. Just to make things simpler, and it's using some dummy variables, I think it should be easy to see that it's possible to turn any formula to this form. Okay. Then there is a connection to exponential time hierarchy. Okay, I hope I have managed to define the classes correctly here. If not, then if you can advise me, I would be happy. Okay, so we have the hierarchy of these exponential towers, these functions, and then okay, here notice that the kind of the level of the exponential is a subscript to this notation. So exp 0 I is non-deterministic time exp I of nk, and union over all k. And then we have the alternation. We are using oracles, and the oracles are in the polynomial hierarchy. You understand it, or is somebody wondering? Okay, I hope this would be clear. Because the size of the query to the oracle should be polynomial. Okay, so it should be of the same size as what can be computed on the work tape. Okay. And then there is a correspondence between these levels of the exponential time hierarchy and these fragments of higher order logic. Okay, and here you see the problem with the subscripts and superscripts that I was referring to. So next j I is actually the same as sigma i plus one. So we change the subscript and superscript and we add one. And okay, but in any case there is a strict correspondence. Okay, so this was the background. So now the next thing is to restrict to third order logic, and our first goal is to reduce the problem given a sentence phi of third order logic and a structure for this formula. Is phi true in A? So the problem is a given second order Boolean sentence psi valid. So this is the first goal. So we are going to have a complete problem for this higher order logic, but the complete problem is a set of second order Boolean sentences. Okay, so what are we doing? So we have to fix a sentence phi of third order logic, and we want to define we want to define a function fi which translates structures to these second-order formulas, second-order sentences, over the Boolean model. So that for each structure, the sentence phi is true if and only if the Boolean model satisfies the sentence f phi of A. Yeah.
So the reduction is for a fixed third-order sentence?
Yeah.
So,
but this is the, what we should do. I mean, we are reducing the all the classes which are definable in.
What on the slide suggests, you have the problem of given.
Yeah.
Structure, but actually you're simply reducing the problem for each.
Yeah. Maybe it's a bit. Okay, but actually we have to go through formulas because the construction is by induction on the formula phi. So there may be three variables and we actually have to define the function f phi for each formula with possibly three variables. So from we have to go from interpretations to second order formulas which also have three variables. And then, since we have three variables, we have to have interpretations, valuations for the three variables, also on this Boolean model. So we have to define a valuation, beta of A on B, for each interpretation. So this is what we are going to do. And here is the idea. It's not that difficult idea. It's quite natural. So relations over A are just interpreted as binary strings on the Boolean structure. So encode relations to binary strings. And then we come to third order relations. Well, they are then relations between these binary strings. And we have fixed this arity R. Everything is of arity R, so they are R array relations over binary strings of the length A to R. Okay, first order quantifiers are translated into disjunctions and conjunctions.
First time you say relations on AR, well, the length doesn't seem to be right to me, but probably I'm not understanding.
If you have an R array relation on the structure A, it corresponds to a binary string of length A, I mean the number of tuples. For each tuple we say if it's in the relation or not.
Okay,
first order quantifiers are just disjunctions and conjunctions over the elements in the structure, original structure. And second order quantifiers are translated, I mean, since the relations are translated into binary strings, we have to translate them into blocks of first order quantifiers of this length, of the length of the strings. And then third order quantifiers are translated just into corresponding second order quantifiers. Then we have to make this interpretation of the relations on A as binary strings. So here is how it is done. Okay, I guess this would be obvious. So we just have to. So we just have to, for this purpose, we have to have an order on the R tuples of the structure A. So we list all the tuples, R tuples, and then, just take the binary string of the appropriate length such that, defined by the, this is a standard encoding of the relation into a binary relation, binary string. Okay, and then the third order relation is then translated into the tuple of all tuples of strings, so that these tuples of strings are the encodings of the binary the second order relation. And so, if we would go to higher order, there would be some further layers, but we are not going. And we can also translate back, naturally, from binary strings of the appropriate length to relations and so on. Okay, so for the definition of F5, we need a mapping that assigns each. Okay, we have to kind of fix beforehand how we translate variables. That's the idea here. So we fix an assignment of variables. So for each second order variable V, we have a corresponding sequence of first order variables which it corresponds. So we have a first order variable X, V, and then tuple A, where we go through all R tuples from the model. And then for third order variables, if we have a third order variable T, then we just translate it to choose second order variable UT, and we have to fix the arity accordingly, so it has to be of arity M times R, where this M was the cardinality of the structure to R, the number of R tuples in the structure. And then we have the corresponding block of first order variables, which is just denoted by this boldface X of V. Okay, and now we can define how we translate interpretation, the valuation on the structure A to evaluation on the structure, the Boolean structure. Okay, so quite simply, if we have this first order variable X, V, A, we just look whether this tuple A is in the interpretation of this second order relation in the structure A, and put it either 1 or 0 accordingly. And for a second order variable UT, the interpretation is the natural interpretation that I was stating here, so the QR here, corresponding QR. Okay. And then we go through this definition. So there are some cases here, and I have drawn a picture. I will show it to you now. It may be helpful, but when I was drawing the picture, I observed that actually the picture is also maybe too complicated, so I don't know if it helps. But let's see. So what are we doing in this translation? So this is kind of typical formula of third order logic here, this phi. And maybe I take this pointer. Okay. And it starts with the third order quantification. Well, that's easy to translate. We just take the corresponding second order variable and use the same quantification. Then we have a second order quantification in phi, so for all V. And a second order quantification is translated into a block, the corresponding block of first order quantifications. So we have this block X. This is the same as the boldface X here. There's a block of first order quantifiers, and they are kind of done in a block here. Okay, conjunction. Well, it's just a conjunction, first order conjunction. Then we have a first order existential quantifier here, and it goes to a disjunction. Disjunction over the elements in the structure. So it means that for each element we have a different branch here, and so on. Then I have shown here a couple of or typical atomic formulas that occur here. So how do we translate the atomic formulas? Let's see if this is working now properly. Okay. So if we have an atomic formula in the vocabulary, so a relation symbol, then we just translate it either to truth or falsity. I mean, we just choose some trivial sentence which is always true or always false. And if we have a second order variable and then the tuple of variables x, then what we do is we go to the corresponding first order variable and we look for the interpretation in the model in this interpretation A, calligraphic A, for this tuple here, and we choose that corresponding variable from here and say that this must be one. So it is the claim that this is one. So in the corresponding representation of the interpretation of V as a binary string, the corresponding bit is one. This is what this is saying. Okay, and then the most complicated thing is I guess an atomic formula that we get from this third order atom here. So this is only having one variable here, so it's not so complicated, but it may have a sequence V1 to VR. And then the translation, notice that there may be several copies of this here, because we have the branching. Actually the same holds also for these. They may be in several copies because there is the branching. But the idea is that for each of them is translated to the UT of this XV. I don't know if this helps any, but let's keep it here. So here I have described said the same things. Okay, for usual atomic formulas, we just take the truth or falsity according whether it's true or false in the model, the interpretation A. And then these are the other atomic formulas, as I said. First order connectives are trivial. And first order quantifiers are translated into the disjunctions and conjunctions. But now there is a point that where one has to be careful, because then in this disjunction for each branch we change the interpretation here accordingly. So the idea is really that this corresponds to, in the original formula, a quantification. So we are assigning a value to the corresponding variable. So that's why we have to change the interpretation here. So maybe I'm not showing it here properly, but the interpretation may change. Okay, and the second order quantifiers, as I was saying, we just take the blocks of first order quantifiers and the third order quantifiers. Okay, and then after this translation, we can prove by a straightforward induction, a theorem saying that if phi is a third order formula and A is an interpretation for this formula, then the interpretation A satisfies phi if and only if the Boolean model with the corresponding interpretation we defined satisfies F phi of A. And if we start with a sentence, then we can leave out the evaluation of free variables, so we have that the model A itself satisfies phi if and only if the Boolean model satisfies the sentence F phi A. Okay, and it's a straightforward induction. There are two crucial things that I use in the induction proof, but I guess I will not go into the proof. You can read it from the whole paper, which is also, there is a link in the seminar page. Okay, and then we come to the complete problems. Okay, so if you look at the definition of this translation, it should be clear that we are translating existential quantification to existential quantification over the third order existential to second order existential and so on. So we are preserving the structure of the formula, except that we are going from third order logic to second order logic, and so the sigma 2j formula is translated into sigma 1j formula. Okay, and then this is just a notation. I don't know if this is a good notation, but UBF 1j. So this is the set of all sigma 1j sentences that are true in the model, the Boolean model. Okay, and here we have the result. So for every j, at least one QBF 1j is hard for sigma 2j under p time reductions. And this is really what we got from the theorem 1. So if we have some sentence of sigma 2j, and then we take the class of models of this sentence, then the theorem 1 says that this model is in k phi if and only if the translation is true, so it's in QBF 1j. And it's polynomial time computable. I won't even go to the details. I mean, it's a very simple translation. And then we get also the completeness problem quite easily because we can just go to sigma 2j is the same as this next j minus 1, 1. And it's straightforward to prove that this is actually in this QBF 1j is in the corresponding level of the exponential hierarchy. So that's a kind of completeness for the complexity class. Okay, but what we really wanted is a complete problem which is a class of structures and complete with respect to logical reductions. Okay, and I'm just saying here that actually, okay, in a sense this QBF 1j as we defined it is not a class of structures. We can of course encode it easily as a class of strings or word models, and we would get a complete problem. And since the reduction was polynomial time, we can see that the reduction would be least fixed point logic definable. but we want to do better. We want to go to quantify-free reductions. So, what we'll do is we prove that for each j at least one there is a class H2j. Okay, the indices are changing all the time. Now it's H2j of structure which is complete for sigma 2j with respect to quantify-free first-order reductions, and we don't need the presence of linear order. Here we are using the linear order to translate, to get from polynomial time to least fixed point logic.
You don't say much about H2J. The theorem, you don't say anything about H2J. It's a class of structures. Could be.
H2J is a class of structures.
Proof is coming, we should actually construct it, I suppose.
I haven't defined it yet.
As a theorem, it doesn't seem to state anything because the class of structures can be very rich, it can be higher order logic structures.
Which is complete. It's the class of structures itself is definable in sigma 2J. That's one thing. Okay, of course, being just hard, I wouldn't say much, but it's definable in H2J, in sigma 2J. Okay, so what we really need to do is to get this result is we have to encode these formulas into structures. Okay, and there are several problems here. One problem is that the formula, it has names for variables and how many names are needed depends on the original formula phi. But we need a fixed class of structures in a fixed vocabulary. So it has the class which is complete should be given, it should have a fixed vocabulary. It's not, in my mind, I don't consider classes of structures where we have an finite structures where we have an infinite vocabulary as a good thing. Okay. So we have to encode the information of this formula in some way in a uniform vocabulary which doesn't depend on the names of the variables and so on. And that's really the point. All that we have to do. We have to encode all the information in this formula. Okay. So I have explained here what we are doing. So instead of having variable names, we introduce an equivalence relation on the structure so that each equivalence class corresponds to a variable in the formula. That's the first step because, okay, we can do this because variable names don't matter in the semantics. It doesn't matter which name we give to variables, so equivalence classes are good enough. Okay, and then once again, we don't have names for variables, so we have to somehow, in some other way, we have to indicate which quantifier is bound by which variable is quantified by which quantifier. So we have to have a binary relation which links to the quantifiers in the formula to the corresponding variables that it binds. Okay, so it's a binary relation. Okay, but then there's a further problem with this because now how do we link a quantifier to a variable if the variable actually is just occurring in the name here, it's not occurring as a node of this formula here. Well, we have to add such a node which tells that okay, this variable here is occurring here. And to make things complicated, actually the variables are occurring in blocks in this third order, in this third order formula here. They are occurring in such blocks. So we have to first put a new node which contains the block, and then under the block we have to have a node for each variable occurring in the block. So this is a bit complicated, but this can be done. And then, okay, we may have or we usually have, if we have arity R, we have these second order atomic formulas which have several blocks of variables like this, and we have to be able to tell apart which block is occurring first and which is occurring second and so on in this kind of, and we don't assume that we have any order on the structure in which we want to interpret this, so we cannot separate between the nodes corresponding to these blocks from each other by any simple, I mean by a direct way. So what we have to do, we have to add some indexing nodes C1 to CR. Actually, we have to have an order between these indexing nodes also. So we add such indexing nodes, and then to tell that this XVI is occurring as the ith variable here, variable block here, we link it to the corresponding CI with the binary relation I. Okay. And then one thing is that the block of variables here quantified in here, it has to be a single node. We cannot have a separate node for each variable, but we have to just put it as a single node. But that's not causing any more problems. Okay, so here is the definition of the structure. Okay, you can see it's so. First of all, we take all the subformulas. And then in the extended syntax tree, so we have the new nodes for the variable blocks and for the variables also here. And then we have to have these index nodes also. Okay. And then we need to understand what the formula or to decode from this structure the formula, we have to have the subformula relation S, and then as I said we have the equivalence relation which is used for identifying variables, which variables are the same, and then we have the quantification relation which says which variable is quantified where, and then we have the indexing relation, and then we have number of label relations. So they are just unary relations that tell if the corresponding subformula is negation, disjunction, conjunction, whatever. And there is a separate node for second order and third order quantification and so on. Okay, sorry, second order and first order quantification. Okay, this can be done more efficiently if you want. This 14 is certainly too much, but okay, never mind. And then we have a relation defining the indices. Okay, we are closing to the end. I have drawn a picture of this, but maybe it doesn't help anything. So. Okay, so what we would like to show now is that if we take a sentence phi of sigma to j, then we could find these quantifier free formulas such that for every structure these formulas would define in this structure A an isomorphic copy of this C F phi of A. Okay, then that would be what we need, because then we would have A satisfies phi if and only if, by the previous theorem, B satisfies F phi of A. And then it's easy to see that this, because this is really encoding this C F phi is encoding all the information in the original formula. We would have that this is equivalent to this being in K, where K is the class of all these C psi's which are in QBF1J, or the closure under isomorphisms actually. Okay, but we cannot do this yet, because we don't assume any structure, any particular structure on A. It may be just a structure with no relations at all. There is no order, no nothing. So how can we define a syntax tree like that on the structure A? We can only use the identity types of elements for that purpose. And if we use the identity types, we will automatically obtain a bunch of copies. I mean, for each subformula, we necessarily obtain a bunch of copies, because there are a bunch of tuples which have the same identity type. We cannot separate them. Okay, so how do we solve this problem? Well, we will finally introduce an equivalence relation, which is also defined by a quantifier-free formula. And then we take the quotient structure by this equivalence relation. It's actually a congruence relation on the structure defined by the other quantifier-free formula. And that can be made, the quotient is then, will then be isomorphic to this syntax, this extended syntax tree structure, CF phi of A. Okay. And the lemma says that, okay, we do have such quantifier-free formulas, and the last one for the congruence relation, so that this holds. And then we can just take H2J to be the class of all structures of this type, such that the quotient is isomorphic to C psi, for some psi which is in QBF1J. Okay. So here we have the desired thing. A satisfies phi if and only if the structure is in H2J. So this H2J is hard for sigma 2J. And it's also, okay, we can check that it's in H2J is in the class next PJ minus 1, the corresponding class in the exponential hierarchy. And since the exponential hierarchy coincides with sigma 2J, this H2J is definable in sigma 2J. So this is what we get. And I think it's best that I stop now.
You gave us a theorem for third order logic.
Yeah. The promise.
The sort of construction works at other orders.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to add for each stage, we add something more. So we put here a fourth order quantifier here and translate it. Actually, the translation is on the same lines as this one here. Nothing changes going to fourth in that respect. We would have fourth order atoms here, and they are translated in an analogous way, and so on. One thing is, yeah, in a sense, okay, thinking of what is a second order Boolean sentence. Okay, this is the obvious way of defining a second order. But if you think of this in what is really happening here, is that this we have this existential quantification here, and we are existentially quantifying something which happens here. So actually we are in a sense we are existentially quantifying a Boolean function which is defined here. So we are kind of quantifying our connectives in a certain sense.
Well, thank you again.